Good morning, Soma. Great to be with you this morning. Before I jump in, I just wanted to, I will dismiss the children. Before I jump in, I wanted to just share very briefly that on September 10th, we're going to be having a celebration service of God's faithfulness through Soma this year. And we're going to be meeting at Sambica in Bellevue. The details will come out. But what we do every year at Sambica is a baptism service too. And from the beginning of the early church, whenever somebody gave their life to Jesus, the very next thing they did was that they got baptized. It happened right after they made a profession of faith to follow Jesus. It didn't happen a year later. It didn't happen 10 years later. It happened instantly. And so I want to encourage you, there are many of you who have recently given your life to Jesus. And I want to encourage you to prepare your heart and mind to be baptized on September 10th. It can be intimidating. I got baptized when I was 21, and it took me a few years to have the courage to do so because my family, people in my life, were going to be disappointed about that. And I got baptized when I was 21, and people were disappointed. But I obeyed God rather than man. And so I want to challenge you to rise up to the occasion and be baptized on September 10th. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's reach out to me if you are ready to make that decision. We are in our summer series, Psalms, Discovering Rest in God. And we will be doing Psalm 131 this morning. Will you please stand with me as I read the Bible? Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and always. This is the word of God given to all of humanity to discover the living God and rest in Him as His children. Please be seated. Up to this point in our series, we studied Psalm 23. Where we learn to rest in God because God is our shepherd and we are His sheep. Last week we studied Psalm 46, where we learned that we need to rest in the infinite God because we are finite. Today, we're in Psalm 131. And Psalm 131 is teaching us to rest to find rest in our identity. Rest in God, who is your identity. Don't rest in your view of God. Rest in God's view of you. Who are you to God? If somebody asked you, what is your identity in? What would you say? Maybe the better question to distill it is, who or what gives you meaning in life? What gives you hope? There is an extraordinary identity crisis happening in our culture today. We live in a factory of identities that are masks for the real identity. We may risk our identity to our good jobs, to the success of our children's performance. My children love Jesus, so that must make me a good Christian parent. or my children go to this prestigious school, or they have this kind of job, or they are the best at this sport, or we may risk our identity to the wealth and prestige our families come from, to the country we belong to, the political party we might support, to our favorite sports team, to the color of our skin. But today, the identity space has even extended to freely pick and choose what gender you want to be and what kind of sexuality you want to have. And we will give our lives to that identity. This is the factory of identities that compete with the real identity. What we place our identity in is what drives us. But our truest identity as human beings is based on how God views us. And God's chief concern for you and I, according to this psalm, is to place our identity in nothing else but God. That is our true identity as Christians that transcends all earthly and finite identities. If you are a Christian, nothing is more important in the world than you being a child of God. David is showing us in this psalm to rest in God because we are his children. David, who was the king of the country Israel, wrote this psalm as a prayer to God. The pastor H.B. Charles thinks that David was writing this prayer in his closet privately, and then God leaked it out to us. This prayer is called one of the Song of Ascents, where the Jews would travel or ascend up to Jerusalem, and they would read this psalm and other psalms that are under the category of Song of Ascents. And as they were ascending up to Jerusalem, they would ask, God, does my life reflect what is in this psalm? A good habit for us to consider and participate in. David honestly tells God what he is feeling, what he is thinking, and how he is behaving. First, David told God what he was feeling in verse 1. He said to God, my heart is not filled with pride, or my value does not come from anything that this finite world tells me that I am. David had a lot to be proud about, and he had a lot to be sad about. It was quite a label to be king of Israel. Imagine if you were president of the United States, or the CEO of Microsoft. It's not hard to be defined by your success. The finite world tells us, feel good about yourself because of your successful career. Feel good about yourself because you are a man or a woman. Feel good about yourself because you come from a wealthy family, or that you moved to the east side of Seattle. Score. Would you still feel good about yourself if you lost your job or if your family was no longer wealthy? David refuses to feel proud. The opposite of pride is humility. Do you want to be a Christian? Then it starts with humility. It is Christianity 101. Jesus Christ, who was rich, became poor. and humbled himself to the point of death to produce a new human race of humble servants of God. The greatest act of humility in the history of the world happened when God died on a cross. Second, David told God what he was thinking with his eyes by saying, "My eyes are not haughty." The literal Hebrew translation of "my eyes are not haughty" is "my eyes are not lifted up," which means I don't look down on anyone. I am not superior to anyone. And third, after sharing his feeling of not feeling proud and his thinking of not looking down on others, David told God how he was behaving by saying, "I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp." He was saying to God, "I am not messing around with anything that is out of my reach. I will not be blinded by pure ambition." The king of Israel was surrendering the allure of ambition and control to God. Why was David able to make these statements in his prayer? He wasn't trying to impress God with his words. He wasn't trying to be super spiritual. God already knew what was going on in David's heart and in his mind. He already knew how David was going to behave. David was being honest in his prayer to God, and he was saying he was not feeling proud. He expressed that he did not look down on others in a superior way, and that he was not going to worry about anything that was beyond his control. Nor was he going to carry the weight of being king of Israel, because God is in control of what is beyond us, and God is in control of every nation, especially Israel. Thanks, Jay. Jay's taking care of me.
Just coming to get my sunglasses.
Oh, okay. We don't have to carry the weight because the right person carried it. Jesus Christ carried the weight of the world on his shoulders by absorbing God's wrath that humanity deserved on the cross so that we don't have to. David is praying to God, "God, I refuse to carry the weight of the world or the weightiness of leading a country on my shoulders, because that's your job." When I took on this new role in January at SOMA, I was asked, "Should you? Do you think you can handle becoming the tip of the spear at SOMA?" But that's actually not true, is it? This is Jesus' church. It's on his shoulders. I am not the face of this church. I'm a nobody. Jesus is the face of this church. The elders or deacons or members are not the face of this church. Jesus is the face of this church. Jesus gave his life for the church, so we don't have to. What weights are you carrying that are beyond your capacity? What have you been trying to control that is beyond your control? We who are God's children should rest in God by refusing to be proud. We should look at others with eyes of grace and equality And we should surrender our ambition and control to God. The church in America has been hijacked by the allure of ambition and control. Let's learn from David and be committed to fighting against it. And how did David draw this conclusion? David was saying he could have this framework of feeling, thinking, and behaving and living because he was a child of God. In verse 2, he called himself a child. His inner being, his soul, was like a weaned child. A weaned child is a mature child. To be weaned is to be gradually deprived of your mother's milk. That might be common knowledge, but it wasn't for me. It's not in my everyday vernacular to use the term weaned child. I'm trying to raise weaned children. A weaned child in this psalm is defined as a child who matures and no longer needs to drink milk as a baby. David was like a weaned child who no longer cries for his mother's milk. David did not start off as calm and quiet with an unshakable confidence of security in God. David started off crying for his mother's milk. David was proud. He did look down on others and felt superior to them. He did have blind ambition. There is a distinct cry for when a baby wants her mother's milk. Do you know it? A weaned child does not cry for milk anymore because the child has an unshakable confidence in her mother who will provide her with what she needs. The weaned child is secure in mom. David says, I have calmed and quieted myself. What is a person who is calm and quiet? That is a person at peace. A child who is not weaned and cries for milk is not at peace. She is restless and chaotic and not calm. The child is like me when I am hungry. I cry. I get loud and I'm not quiet. The child is reasonably flustered. The child is not at peace with the mother. But a child who grows up in a secure environment will possess an unshakable confidence that she is loved. The child is at peace and is content because she is secure in her mother. And the mother weans a content and happy child toward eating solid foods. How did David turn into a weaned child of God? Verse 3 answers the question when David says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and always. Placing our identity in God leads to contentment and sets us free from placing our hope in earthly identities. David is telling the people of Israel to hope in God, now and always. In Hebrew, another translation for hope is linger. Linger in God. David turned into a weaned child because he was lingering in the reality of being a child of God. He was living in that reality. David's soul is at peace with God, and he is happy in God. God has blessed our church with a lot of babies, as you've been hearing. Have you ever tried to make silly faces to the baby just to get a mild smile out of them? I'll work really hard sometimes and look silly, and look as silly as possible.
Hi, gaga goo goo.
I'm sure none of you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, you guys, you don't do that. And what happens when you see the baby crack a smile? Everyone laughs and celebrates and gets excited about the baby. You might even get a good job for working so hard to get the baby to smile. As if we did something for them to smile. We didn't do anything to get them to smile. They needed to be content for you to have any shot at getting them to smile. The mom did everything. The baby is happy in mom. The baby is secure in mom. The baby lingers in the mother's love that keeps them content and satisfied. David is inviting us today to linger in the love of God that will keep you secure in an insecure world. He invites us to linger in the love of God that keeps you content in a discontent world. We linger in God's love by spending time with Him. Intentionally spend time with God this week and learn to linger in Him. We are easily distracted and can go a day or days without considering our God. David is saying to rest in God because we are His children. Do you understand the gravitas of what it means to have the identity of child of God? John, who was Jesus' best friend, says this, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him." The pastor and theologian Eugene Peterson says it this way, "Marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who He is or what He's up to." David was able to feel, excuse me, rough morning. David was able to not look down on others because he recognized he is a child of God. And David was not interested in pursuing his ambitions because the identity of child of God has made him calm and quiet. He is at peace with his life because God made him a child of God despite his circumstances. David did not make himself a child of God. You did not make yourself a child to your parents. God weaned him to become a calm and quiet person who is content and fully satisfied with who he is. Rest in God because we are his children. If you are a child of God, are you on a path toward understanding the implications of being his child? To be a child of God means your life is not meaningless when you experience loss. Your life is not meaningless when you fail at something. To be a child of God is more important than your gender or sexuality. Your identity is not in your gender or sexuality. Your identity is in your Maker. And the question He is asking you is, will you be my child? To be a child of God is more significant than whether you work for Google, Amazon, or any tech company or company that brought you here. To be a child of God means that God brought you here for a specific purpose that He wants to accomplish in you and through you. To be a child of God is more secure than being part of a huge family or a messed up family. To be a child of God has more value than your own family name. These earthly identities fade away and are masks for the real identity. There is no identity that is more important, more secure, and more stable in the world than you being a child of God. Will you rest in God because you are His child? Christian maturity is to become secure like a weaned child who stopped crying for milk because his mom has given him everything he needs. Do you want to become a child of God? Then humble yourself and go to God like a child. Somebody asked Jesus, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" How do I become great, Jesus? Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Come to Jesus like a child, turning from your sins, and become a child of God. Let's contemplate now what we have read and heard and go to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this eternal identity that transcends all earthly and finite and fading identities, that we are children of God. It is a term used around so loosely that it could lose its power. Help us to remember the power behind the title, that we are children of God. We are honored before you because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for many. Family, as we pray, I would love to invite you to reflect on what we just heard and read. How are you feeling, thinking, and living today? Are you feeling proud? Are your eyes haughty? Are you blinded with ambition or wanting to control? I invite you to go to God as a child. Go to Jesus, who says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "I am gentle and lowly." He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Where do you place your confidence? Who or what is your identity in? Will you commit to linger in God as His child rather than in earthly identities? I want to give you about 60 seconds to go to God now. Father, thank you for giving us your word that is life. Would you hear our prayer this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. We're about to step into a time of communion and offering. This is an ancient practice that Jesus himself instituted 2,000 years ago. And we practice it every Sunday, where we remember the broken body of Jesus, broken for our sins, and his shed blood for our redemption on the cross. And so we drink the juice or wine or the bread that symbolizes his blood and his body for the bread. And there's offering boxes here as well if you'd like to give.